But the title of the message that he didn't have, that I created, the title of this message today is called the Judas look. The Judas look. So if we can have a picture of Judas on the screen. So, you know, I find it interesting that Hollywood, this is from a movie, and how many of you have ever watched anything about the Bible, about Jesus and his betrayer called Judas? And how many of you have ever seen it's depicted this way, right? Everyone else has brown hair in the group, and Judas has black hair. He's scruffy. He looks kind of, I'm going to use the term that young people use. You may or may not get this, but I'm just saying, seeing him, he looks kind of sus. He looks sus, man, right? So he's in the group of the 12. This is what we see. This is the betrayal of and the look of what we think betrayal looks like. And I'm going to show you in just a minute, it is the polar opposite of what it really looks like. It's not what's on the outside, but what's on the inside, right? Someone say amen. Amen. Lean in, because we only have about 16 minutes left, so I got to keep going. So I'm going to go to a scripture, which is going to show you. We can go ahead and take that sus guy off the thing there. And I'm going to read in John 13. I'm going to start in verse 20, actually. He may or may not have that on the screen. John chapter 13. And you want to take notes. You want to write this down. Put it in your phone, because this is important and it's going to help you, because it helped me. Jesus said, "I tell you the truth. Whoever accepts anyone I send accepts me, and whoever accepts me accepts the one who sent me." Verse 21. After he had said this, Jesus was troubled in spirit and testified, and then said, "I tell you the truth, one of you is going to betray me." Verse 22. Here is the verse. All of the verses in the Bible are important. You need to understand that. And what I'm not here today is to talk about whether or not Judas went to heaven. Was he a bad guy? Was it from he was born to do this? That's not what I'm getting into today, so we're going to skip over that. But I want to get to this. His disciples stared at one another at a loss to know which of them he meant. Can we put that picture back on? Well, if I'm in the 12, just saying, and I'm one of the 12, and this is what that guy looks like, when Jesus said, "One of you are going to betray me," it would have been really easy to go, "It's sus guy over here," right? If that's what he really looked like, why were they perplexed? Why did they look amongst themselves and even ask in other scriptures, "Is it me, God? Is it me?" Oh, I would immediately know, "It's not me." I'm like, "Dude, it's him. Look at him. That's the betrayer." But do you understand? He didn't look like that. He looked just like everyone, and he wasn't sus at all, because they did not know who it was. And here's another reason. Is because this is important that you all get this. Jesus had treated him the same all the way through, knowing that he would be betrayed by Judas. He knew it. And yet, none of the disciples had picked up on the experience of how Jesus treated Judas, even knowing what was about to happen. Do you, let me give you a word picture. Do you have anyone in your family that if something goes down where Aunt Martha gets a hold of Aunt Susan, but before they even say it's Aunt Martha and said, "Oh, there was a big fight in our family," how many of you know already who had done it? right? It's obvious. That's the way it was with the disciples, but they didn't know. Let me give you another example. In our staff, if it were to be said, there was a staff meeting, and one of the people in the meeting with Josh was really, really boisterous. I can tell you right now who was sus. Probably not Daniel. You could ask them. If all they did was they missed the meeting and they heard there was a little bit of a thing going on with Pastor Josh and another person, how many of you know who do you think it probably was? Me. How did you know that? See, my point made, if he was the betrayer, if he was the bad guy, if he was the obvious, they would have absolutely known. But because of God's love towards the 12, basically equally, they had no idea. So here's my goal today, my assignment in a short time. And my heart is to speak life and encouragement to everyone that has the desire here today to grow so that we may know how to reach a broken world. Judas was broken. Judas was chosen out of the 12 people. So how do we do it in our church, in our home, in our jobs, where we go, at the ball games? I'm going to let you in on a secret. There's going to be three things that we're going to share that's going to help you grow about people. And it's what Jesus did over and over. And it's why people were drawn to him. If people were not drawn to you today, this is going to give and highlight some areas that if we work on, we will be able to reach a lost and dying world. Somebody say amen. Amen. All right, you're in. Thank you. Well, a number of studies show that this is the first time in over 100 years, this is what we're walking into, it's the first time in 100 years that 63% of Americans believe the quality of life for the future will be worse than the past. See, if we're not careful, we end up hearing that 63% of Americans do not believe that there's any hope for the future. There's none. No hope. So if we're not careful, we get to a place that it's called, it's a science. It's a science. It's a science of where we get. We get to a place that is called learned helplessness, meaning no hope. What's the point of even trying in our lives or for others? What's the point? Learned helplessness because of what we hear. Well, now that I've painted this bleak and doom picture, here's something you might want to write down for your own life. It's just a real nice thing that you can do. And it's rule number one, right? Write this down. Rule number one, in a crisis, see it as it is. See it as it is, but don't see it worse than it is. Does that make sense? See it as it is. I mean, I can remember when we were home, I'm the dad that if somebody would spill milk at the table, I was like, oh my gosh, focus, Mac. See, I didn't say Andrea, she's here. So Mac's not here, so Mac, focus. And of course, my wife, being the kind woman that, oh, baby, that's okay. I'm like, it's not okay. You're spilling milk. Love a pea. Now, let me shift the narrative. When the doo-doo hit the fan with one of the kids, my wife was out of control. And I was the dad, was like, hey, we got this. We gonna be all right. See, the milk stuff drove me nuts. Like, scooter, get. Can be fixed. Don't do that. But then the big stuff, the stuff that really mattered, not that my wife wasn't good at it, but it usually went to me like, Dad, take care of this. Why? Because I saw the crisis of that moment that was pretty big, because milk is really not a crisis. But the crisis that was happening with one of our children, it was big, and I need to see it as it is, not bigger than it is. And what can I do in a world that seems to be going mad all around me? And then that's all I'm going to talk about. You know, it's all I'm going to see. And it's the government. And have you seen this and this? And this person's not doing this. And if Christians, if they would just do this, and if this preacher, my gosh, if he would just say that, everyone stop. Just stop right where you're at. None of that is helpful. That's probably going to help everyone in the world right now. Complaining and griping about what someone else is not doing, you know what it does? It takes the pressure off of you of what you should be doing. Because we should be praying for people, digging in and saying, God, open their eyes and their heart and their mind to your truth so that you can work through that person who's in authority. Right there, we could just close on that. We're not. I got 5 minutes probably. So we're going to see it for what it is. Let me give you an example when we do that. It's been a few weeks ago. I was in a meeting, and there were some people talking, and as they were talking, I thought, okay, it's a good meeting. And then all of a sudden, an individual just got up in the meeting and just kind of, it was like 15 minutes in. Individual gets up and walks out. And I was like, oh, snap. They're mad. I know they heard this. This is what they heard. They're mad. Probably going to lose them. They might even leave the church. I don't know what's going on. I bet they're ticked. Oh, my gosh. How do I'm going to have to let it go for a few days and maybe talk to this person. We'll see. Oh, my gosh. Why does this happen? I think I even went home and told my wife, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. Maybe 3 days later, I gave the person a call. And I said, hey, everything okay? Noticed you got up really abruptly and kind of seemed to leave the meeting like in a hurry, like I'm out and I am glad I'm out. That's what it seemed to me. Oh, no. Some things happened. I got a phone call or a text and I've got to leave. There was an emergency. Wow. See what happens when we immediately go to a space that was not there? It's the crisis thing. Well, I'm not here about positive thinking. We're going to get right into this. I'm not here about positive thinking. I'm not here as a motivator. I think motivation is something that's important. I think it takes energy. I think we all should be motivated. But it's not about being a positive thinker. And I'm going to say it like this. Is that, you know what? If you have a garden, how many of you have gardens? Anybody plant a garden? A few of you? One of you? Some of you, right? Okay. We're learning trust, certainty, we're getting better. You planted a garden, if you go out to your garden every day and you go, there are no weeds. There are. You got to pull weeds, man. See, that's just wishful thinking, that's positive thinking. And that's not what I'm talking about where we're moving and into this. So people, I know this, have three needs. You're going to want to write these down. This is going to change your life because they're needs that convert to emotional needs that Jesus himself used with his disciples, others, and Judas. Are you with me this morning? We're almost done. Number one, people. How many of you are people here today? Okay, all right. Some of you are aliens. This will be another discussion. If you're a people, every person in this room desires to be loved and cared for. Every single one of us. We desire to be loved and cared for. And lastly, we want to feel important and we want to be accepted. Have you ever went somewhere where you weren't sure what it was going to be like, whether it was maybe a funeral where you knew you weren't going to know people, you're going to a wedding, or you're going to this meeting and you're not going to know anybody, and there was this uncertainty, will I be accepted? How will I fit in? Well, here's what I want you to know. Jesus chose Judas to be one of the, as we know it now, the elite 12. He was chosen. Jesus picked Judas. You know, at Valley, we do a thing called Fieldhouse Friday for football. And what happens is Coach Boffman will call two of the seniors up and say, all right, pick your teams, because we go against each other with these drills. And I watch kids as they start saying names. Like, I got this guy, I got this guy, I got this guy. And you've all been there. And you can see the face of the kid that's picked last. Standing there, I mean, there's 40, 45 kids, and it's reduced to one individual that some level they feel, I wasn't wanted. It's important to be accepted. Jesus accepted and chose Judas. When we love and accept people, that's one of the first ways to start to getting into their lives, is to love them and to accept them. You know, it's funny, in Matthew chapter 22, when it comes to love, Jesus was asked by an attorney, a lawyer, and the lawyer was really trying to tempt him, and he said, Master, which is the greatest commandment? How many of you remember that scripture? Jesus was there, and he's an attorney, so he's like, ooh, I can get him. This guy was duped in the law. He was an attorney. He knew how to talk. He knew how to ask the right questions to get someone stuck in a court of law. And he asked him, he said, Master, which is the greatest commandment? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. I'm gonna stop right there. At least for me, epic fail. Today, Jesus answered that question, that this is the greatest and first commandment, is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. When I read that when I was studying, I was like, ouch. I sometimes fall short. I think we all do, right? If we're honest. I think we all do. But kind of like David in the Bible, who was a hot mess a lot of the time, it's interesting how God continually said, and the more God gets in your life, the more you allow this to be a relationship and not a religion. Are you with me? You guys with me? You're awful quiet. But the more that I allow it to be a relationship rather than a religion, I absolutely understand the David story. And when God says, David is a man after my own heart. Because I am. Do I mess up? Oh, man. All the time. But the goal is that it's corrected. And I say, you know what, God? I'm not happy being that person. I want to grow. I want to be more like you. How many of you remember the bracelets, the what would Jesus do bracelets, right? And we wore them so that in times of trouble and maybe in a meeting with Pastor Josh, I might go, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? I want to become more like him. I want my mind, it says he's given us the mind of Christ. I want my heart to be like his. And Jesus said, this is the first and greatest commandment. And then he said, the second, he added, with the attorney right there, the second is to love your neighbor as yourself. All of the law of the prophets hang on these two commandments. What does that mean, Larry? It simply means this, that if you love God with all your heart and soul and your mind, and you love your neighbor, I know there's kids in the room, you're not going to commit adultery. Hello? If you do this, Jesus was saying, this fulfills the rest of the law and the commandments. You won't murder people. I mean, if you love God with all your heart and soul and all your mind, and you love your neighbor as you do, you're not going to kill people. Man, that just makes so much sense to me. Jesus answered the question when the guy thought he was going to get him stuck. He answered it with a simple question. Ladies and gentlemen, if we get up every morning and we seek him first, see how the scriptures just all go together? And we seek him first. We seek him first. Everybody say, seek him first. That means first in the morning, when you get up, seek him first. And all these things that you're desiring during the day to make money and to have peace and to have hope and a home, those things are going to be taken care of. Seek him first. Amen. Number two. Number one was loved. Number two is valued. Now I'll go really quick. It matters you're here. We're about to go into a series that is called Your Blank Matters. I love it. I love when Pastor Josh kind of uses those things like, I wonder what my blank. You know, we filled in the blank with so many other things that when you hear it, it's a little sketchy, right? Once again, it's sus, you know. I know I've overused that word, haven't I, Carter? I've overused that term. He's like, yes, Poppy, you have overused that term. People want to feel loved, and people want to feel valued. You see, Jesus valued Judas. He chose him. Now listen, don't get stuck in the muck. And he entrusted him with the job to do. He made him over the jingle. He was over the doja. He was over the money, the coin. He was over the bread, the cabbage, you know, whatever it's called now. He put Judas over that rather, because he gave him, he valued him, and he entrusted him and gave him something to do. So don't go right into, that's because he was part of the money stuff. No. Judas had a correct heart until, listen to me, this is just a thought. What if, and this is for the men in the house, this just came to me, for real, it's not in my notes. What if men, especially, because we're guilty of this, when we're struggling with something, what if Judas would have gotten with the other 11 dudes and said, hey, I'm kind of struggling with loving money right now. What if? And we know how the story ends and the why. I get that. But what if Judas would have said, hey, guys, I'm struggling. See, most men don't do that. They're like, I got this. And then we end up like Judas. Come on. We end up like Judas. We don't talk. I'm good. I got this. No, you don't have this. You didn't have it at the beginning, and you don't have it at the end, and there's no lone rangers. God put people in your life with skin on to help you. They're all around us. So fellas, let's move in. Women, let's move into that area when we start struggling, and before we get to a place that seems like we can't get back, let's use the people that God has put in our life. And if you have not got people in your life, I would recommend you get connected in a connect group. Hallelujah. There you go. That was good. That was free. All right. Lastly, and I'm going to close with this. I'm out of time. Number three. Number one was everyone wants to be loved. Do we make people feel loved at work, at home? Are we hospitable? Do we do this? Because this is how Jesus showed that you reach people. They felt comfortable because he loved them. He accepted them. He valued them. He stopped what he was doing so many times, y'all. He was on his way to go somewhere and was constantly stopped by people who touched the hem of my... He could have kept going, but he stopped. See, he wasn't busy. He stopped. The woman at the well, I just want a drink, man. And he goes into a whole thing. Why? Because he loves people. Listen, and I've said this, it's hard to live above with saints we love. That would be glory. To live below with saints we know, y'all, that's another story. It's tough. It's hard. And lastly, of course, he was valued in number three, and this is important, is certainty. People want certainty in their lives. They need it. We all need it. Let me give you an example. I'm not stressing at this point. Now, I've had cars that wouldn't, but I'm not stressing at this point that when I go out to start my truck, that it'll start. I'm certain. I'm really, really hopeful that when I go home, my house is still there. I know that sounds weird, but we have certainty in our lives. One of the most important certainties that we have in our life is that people will love us, accept us, no matter what we do. Let me ask you something. I'm going to give you another example. Have you ever been flipping through? Women don't do this as much as men, and I don't want to pigeonhole that, but guys, women, you guys know, the dude's got the remote, and he's just flipping through, right? And then a show comes on that I've seen 10 times. It's a movie. Maybe it's a Dumb and Dumber, right? Don't judge me. I've seen it multiple times. But I stop, and then I watch it. What? Larry, you've seen the movie. You know how it ends. I know. But I'm certain I'm going to laugh at the end. And I love that. You see, do you understand emotionally, we all desire, we are made the same way, and it's important for us to have certainty. I said in closing, and this is it. Judas came to Jesus in the garden. And as he approached him, Jesus knew what was going on. Jesus knew. And Jesus says to him when he approaches him, are you ready? Friend, from where did you come from? And what are you doing? Wait a minute. I'm going to say it again. He called him friend, knowing what he was doing. But he was inserting certainty that Judas, you're still my friend. I'm blown away. Certainty. Is it possible that we can love like Jesus loves? And accept people for who they are? Amen. Is it possible that we can value people for who they are and not on the outside what they look like? Value them for who they are and honor them for who they are that God has created them to be? And finally, can we give certainty in our lives a chance for people will know that no matter what we do, I might be disappointed that my daughter does something, but here's what she knows. I'm going to love her no matter what. Whether she's the prisoner or the president, she knows. Doesn't matter. My love for her will never, ever, ever change. Ever. My wife, my grandson, my son-in-law, my son, people around me. Could I be disappointed? Yes. But Jesus still called Judas, friend, even till the bitter end. Abraham Lincoln said it really, really well. Ladies and gentlemen, as this church is growing, God spoke to me, not in an audible voice, but he said this. said, I asked him, I said, you know, God, and I know it's summer, but God, I'm just curious. It feels like numerically, and I understand it's summer. It doesn't feel like we're just growing numbers-wise. And that was just me, because it really didn't hold a lot of validity. When, again, it was the concept I had, right? And I can remember it as clear as day, as God said, Larry, you're not ready for the people that I'm going to send. I am growing this church internally. Oh. You see, the Father would not send his sheep and people that he loves and people that need him into a place that they're just going to fall apart because we're not ready. It's time for this church, for us to dig in with all we've got in these three areas and understand people and understand that we have no judgment, criticism, but acceptance and love. And we're going to do things the Bible way, right? We're going to do things the Bible way. But Abraham Lincoln said this, and we're going to dismiss. He said, sir, he was asked a question. He said, sir, my concern is not whether God is on our side, but my greatest concern is to be on God's side, for he is always there.